visiting today with John Rosa, landfill administrator, recycling coordinator.
Good morning. How are you?
I am.
You are. Yeah. You are. Yes,
been,
you are.
It's some pretty pleasant weather, so not bad. You guys aren't underwater out there. That's a good thing.
No.
Just plugging along.
That's it.
Here we are, the legendary John Rosa. Nice to have you here today, by the way. So,
always good to be here.
As I said, we're going to continue the onslaught of letting people know that we're running out of space. Again, you know, they got to be catching up.
Hopefully.
The thing is, it's not, again, since you do the math, you're the math guy. you're already taking steps again, trying to eliminate waste and material coming into the Boone County landfill to help extend the life of that. But at the same time, we still have a kind of a throwaway society, really.
Boy, do we ever.
Really, John.
Yep.
People just throw stuff away.
That's right. It gets discouraging sometimes of the stuff you see that, like, wow, you're throwing that away, or really? I mean, there's still use of stuff. And I get into, I don't know, semi-hoarding of stuff sometimes where I was like, this is still good. I hate to throw that away.
But you have space, though.
It doesn't help, I guess, either. When you have extra building space, you could fill it up with other things, and I try to not do that. But it still goes back to having too much stuff initially, and then what are you going to do with it? And then just not having a path or an avenue for that stuff to go. Where else should it go? And I think I've had this discussion many times of the give and take of tipping fees, what we charge.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that we are so darn cheap that it's just so makes it so convenient and easy for people to throw it away because, well, it doesn't cost that much.
Yeah.
Why would I waste my time separating this stuff when I know it really doesn't matter? It's only $38 a ton. I mean, you try to throw away, if you're a local person throwing away 500 pounds of garbage, you know, unless you're hauling like chunks of old concrete and heavier material, if you're just taking regular stuff out of your garage, your house, and 500 pounds for $10. That's pretty darn cheap.
That's pretty inexpensive.
Try filling up a vehicle with 500 pounds of just regular garbage, and you can throw it all away for $10. It's really cheap. And I think we need to, and as the administrator, I guess maybe it comes down to me to just make those changes. And I will say that's going to be my intent going forward, is we can't continue to do this and make it so darn cheap that you talk about unincentivizing recycling is to keep our landfill tipping fees so darn reasonable that people say, well, it doesn't cost that much. I'll just throw it all away. But if there's expense to that and recycling is still free, that there would be the incentive to, if we do more good things with our materials and don't just throw it away, utilize the free service, then you actually save money. So make it more meaningful is what it comes down to.
And people need to remember, the landfill is an enterprise fund, much as the city does with their water and sewer, their enterprise funds. Mm-hmm. Those dollars, those fees that are charged there, stay in that. Same with you. There is a per capita thing that's out there.
Yep.
But that's relatively small on the tax side of it, if you will. Otherwise, most operations are paid for by your tipping fee.
By that tipping fee, yep.
Now, you've had an opportunity to make pretty good money. Well, first of all, let's put it this way. You have to have certain amount of money in savings.
Right.
This is a requirement of the state, by the way.
Yes.
DNR says you will have closure, post-closure funds. And, you got to have money that'll go for several years.
Yeah.
And if someone were to look at your bank accounts, they're going to go, you got a bunch of money.
Yeah. And, and that's a separate account. And, and separate from that is our regular operations. And, we're, financially well, but also we don't have space. There was the trade-off. We utilized our space too fast, so we accumulated the funds. And, we do have it, but we're also buying equipment. And when each piece of equipment, a new haul truck, we priced those out recently because we're doing a project right now. We just started this week cleaning out our sediment basin. So we had to rent a long reach excavator and another haul truck just so we can speed up the process and get it done within a week's time. And, curiously, what does this new haul truck cost? Well, it's about $660,000, That's just a haul truck. I mean, we a few years ago, we bought our new compactor, which broke the seven figures of, it was $1 million piece of equipment. And we're not talking about, a $50,000 automobile. We're talking $500,000 on a rebuild of a piece of equipment, just to do one job. And then there's several jobs that need to be done out there. So everything costs a lot of money. We also have that money available. So hopefully we're going to get the forest main project done to pipe the leachate into town and make that process better and safer and easier to manage, frankly. So, big expenses coming, have the funds available to do those things. So it's having those tipping fees and going back to that, we've kept them reasonable because we've been making money. It's hard to say we need more money. Well, no, we're making it now, but still long-term planning, we need to be in place for the future beyond, we're talking, if we're doing what we're currently doing, we're going to be done in under 20 years, run out of space. If we can change things and prolong our life of our landfill to get into the 30, 40 years, but then what? We don't just shut the doors and say, see you later. We become a transfer station. And then how do we manage that? And then, the funds available to get that ready to go. And how do we manage the garbage coming in and the expense with that? So, even though it's a 20 to hopefully into the 30 plus four push 40 years maybe depending on how everything goes.
If
we hit 40, that'd be great. And again, that's someone else's problem, but it's going to be our problem in the area that after 40, then what? We're not just looking at that. We're looking beyond that. We still have to manage our waste. So that does something.
And that's just the what we call the municipal solid waste, MSW.
Yep.
The C and D or the
construction and demolition waste,
which is a whole other thing. And you had been taking, there was a lot actually coming out of Story County, which has been diverted now. That part's been diverted. Still got a lot coming out of Boone County.
Yep. There's still a fair share of that. That's a big chunk. Yep.
And that's not like slowing down.
Yeah. And then there's, the other thing that's mentioned to folks is, it's easy to say the MSW and then the C&D, the municipal solid waste, your household garbage, C&D, your construction and demolition waste. But what about those weird things that whatever industry comes up with and how to dispose of very oddball stuff, dried blood comes to mind, different dusts that need to be tested. What is that dust? Is it harmful? So it goes through a testing process and it comes back through a special waste authorization, an SWA. We love our acronyms, apparently. Yeah. We must abbreviate everything, but an SWA, a special waste authorization, to allow us to say, it's weird. It doesn't really classify as MSW and C&D. So what is it? Well, let's figure out what it is, what's inside there. So it has to be tested to see if there's harmful metals. In particular, that's what they're concerned about, the RCRA metals. So you test for that, volatiles, just odd stuff. Is it bad? Is it a hazardous material? If it's hazardous material, then maybe we can't accept it and has to go through a different process somewhere else.
So there's part of it is the DNR is going to make you protect the groundwater.
Yep.
Which we already do with a number of different things that we take care of, the household hazardous waste and those things. So
that's right.
We got a lot of stuff there.
There's a lot, yeah. And it's fascinating. I think it's kind of interesting because you think, it's a landfill. It's where you throw your garbage. But there's always so much more to it. And certainly there's, you can geek out on some of those things about this is why and the reasoning and the classifications of those things. But it's fascinating. There's just a lot of stuff. You always learn more new things about what can you want to get rid of what now? where did this come from? And there was certainly a fair share of that stuff coming from Ames and Story County with the manufacturing plants they have over there, and they have the oddball stuff, and we're still taking that oddball stuff. That part is not going to Metro, as you mentioned. The C&D is the construction and demolition waste, but the SWAs they wanted us to continue taking, so we're still dealing with those things.
Yeah.
And we will going forward.
We keep doing that in the meantime.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of challenges. People will say, well, it can't be that hard.
Yeah.
You got a lot of fingers in there.
There is.
One of the other things, and I know you talk like the metals coming in and things like that. At the same time, we do know, and we've got some innovative businesses around trying to harvest those, I call it harvesting.
Mm-hmm.
my farming.
It's a fair term.
But harvest the rare metals, you know, get those out of things. But then they still have material that needs to be disposed of.
That's right.
So you still have some of that out there. So, again, but there are things that are happening. But, again, it'd be same with recycling, you know, outside of having cardboard, which has got a pretty good market on its own.
Yep.
And your white paper, which you guys handle volumes of quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
This would be, I mean, you know, they're still finding the markets for it.
Yeah.
Those are the challenges. Or people that are willing to take the time to dismantle now those big flat screen TVs and how much can we get out of those. And, and I mean, there are companies that do that, but most of them used to get shipped to China and they don't do it anymore.
That's right. And that's an interesting, you know, topic you're bringing up about the electronics and TVs. We recycle those. We accept those. So we charge people $15 per screen. So that's a computer monitor, a TV, a laptop, all inclusive with all that stuff. So we charge a flat rate. We're actually probably losing money in the process, honestly, and I think we need to look at what those what the actual costs are and get better about how maybe a different pricing structure. We tried to take the easy way, just say it's a flat rate for this amount, took an average of what we're getting, but you know everything else is increasing, and I think we need to probably look at that as well, make sure we're keeping up with what those costs are coming back to us or our what that's doing. Yeah. So just making sure we're pricing it accordingly. But, you know, you mentioned about there's companies that will take those apart, kind of like appliance demanufacturers.
Yeah.
They're pulling out the bad stuff, the harmful stuff. And maybe it's not worth much, but they have to recoup that for safety.
Mm-hmm.
TV demanufacturing or screen demanufacturing, ripping those apart. They're pulling out the precious metals that could be reused and actually have some value to them. And, you know, unfortunately, they can make some money at that and recoup it by getting those things out of there. But there's still someone needs to rip that all apart and pull those things, know what they're looking for. And you could get into the same idea with solar panels. And I think I've touched on this before that, you know, I as an environmental person, you know, I worry about those things. And I like all those things that are positive. Mm-hmm. But as long as they stay positive in the impact, you know, the wind turbine blade, the windmill blades, the turbine blades, you know, wonderful. Hey, we're creating energy from that. That's wonderful. But then what happens to them when they need to be replaced? And after 20 years, those propellers, those need to be, they're no longer good. So they need to do something with them. What are they going to do with them? Well, they didn't really have a plan with those initially. So then a lot of them got buried. Now there's actually, they're grinding them and mixing them in. But in the meantime, that's kind of a downfall. Didn't look at the end product. So going to the solar panels, what have we learned? and solar companies.
These are the questions you come up with when someone says, oh, this is new and innovative. We can do solar panels.
Yeah.
And you go, and what about their end of life?
Yes, and that's what we're experiencing. We get those comments to say, what are we going to do with these? Well, you look into it and say, nothing. You know, there's nothing that can be done with them. But a solar company is going to tell you it's made from 100% of that solar panel is recyclable. If. There's the big word, small word, but a very powerful one. If you take those things apart, then the separate items that are formed, that mm-hmm. put together to form these panels, if you take the time and if their company can separate those things, you have glass and metal and wood and naming off things that can be recycled. But collectively, as one unit, no, it can't be. There's nothing that automatically pulls those things apart. So unless someone, a company, actually does those things and separates them into those separate materials, then it's not. So
you need to learn to specialize in disassembly. Huh?
Yes, that's right. or to make it easier to disassemble, but can you build it so that it's durable enough, but yet could be disassembled easily enough to then get it to the right things? But it's just, it's having that, the end of life market for it. Mm-hmm. Like recycling, like the wind turbine blades, you know, the TVs, any of it, but any new company coming in to be like, okay, that's all well and good. Or you say that's recyclable. There's a local pizza company that has it on their pizza boxes that says, recycle this cardboard box. And I've taken kind of offense to that. I've had conversations about stop doing that because that's not recyclable. But you know, where's that recyclable? Just to say it is recyclable is incorrect. And putting a symbol on there sometimes is a big cop-out to say this material is recyclable. No, maybe it's made from recycled materials.
If it's got some food on it, it's contaminated.
That's right. Yep. And a pizza box has that with grease and cheese and all the yummy stuff that is in the cardboard, and that ruins it. So, you know, but just having that in your plan, I guess, of your business to say, okay, we're going to produce these things, but at the end of its life, what's going to happen to that? And I think that should be a consideration. That should be something that's required for companies to do.
Well, part of it is people need to get in the habit of taking a look. Okay, if I buy this, What happens down the road?
Right.
Appliances in particular, but we do know that we have companies and locally that will do the disassembly.
Yes.
And thank goodness they have the time and that's what they do.
And training.
They do have markets for it.
Yeah. And they need the certification. They need to be an actual recognized appliance demanufacturer. So it can't just be, you know, Bob Smith in his backyard demanufacturing appliances. No, he needs to have the certification through the DNR to be a appliance demanufacturer to dismantle those. So first of all, they have to, any cooling, they're going to recover the Freon from the systems.
Yep.
There's PCB and mercury switches and a lot of those things. And a lot of the new stuff, from what I've heard, is they don't have those things in the new stuff. And maybe that's why the new stuff doesn't last very long, because, about disposable society. Look at appliances.
Well, those and, the ones that I think about, you know, the old TVs. Yeah, you could always find somebody that had the skills to make repairs on them. Not so much on the new ones anymore.
So. Cost too much to fix them, or maybe they don't have the skills, and it's just easier to send it down the road. And
So we go. Let's talk methane.
Okay.
Because that's still...
There's not much. But.
That is going to be, again, one of the projects that you're going to look to actually incentivize it. But it puts you kind of in that quandary of, because do we take yard waste and do we take green material, I'll call it.
Yep.
Not green waste, but, green material like plants and vegetation, organics. There we go, organics, which again generate methane.
Yeah,
and obviously the company you're working with, it goes, yeah, we would like that.
More the better.
The problem is, it does take space.
Yep, and there's always the trade-off, and that's the sometimes frustrating, the frustration of the job is to, okay, we want to do this, but what are the repercussions to it? What are the ripple effects from it? Yes, if we have a methane collection system, which is what we're shooting for, which is what we're trying to get going, it's very exciting. I think it's a company that puts in these systems to pull the gas from the landfill. Methane, if you know anything about that, it's very harmful to the environment just to be released. So they're able to capture that, clean it, turn it into natural gas, and send it back into the natural gas pipeline. Wonderful. Let's do something good with it. So it's something that I always thought, wow, if we could ever do that, let's do it.
Sure.
But we're not big enough. We don't produce enough. So it's always been in that gray area as a smaller landfill. Bigger landfills have the capacity to produce enough to justify putting in a methane collection system to make it financially feasible.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller landfills are saying, we can't do that, so we want none of it. They want more methane production. We want less. We want none.
Yeah.
Until now that we've hit it into an area where maybe they're able to, the technology's changed and able to function for us smaller ones. And that's what we're experiencing. We've got this company that says, yeah, we want to do this. And so we want to make it work. Let's work together on this. You know, give us your methane gas. We'll turn it into this, and they'll make money, and they're going to give us some of the profits, which is amazing, because, you know, you do something good for the environment and make money. Wow. That's wonderful. Let's do this. With that, then they want to produce more. So then they're saying, well, let's bury your yard waste. Burying our yard waste is waste of space, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
How much space? You're talking 800 ton a year, you know, even 1,000. Mm-hmm. Not much in the grand scheme of things, but still it's using up space.
Yeah.
But we can do that, and then it's helpful to the methane folks to say those organics are good because they're going to produce some good methane fuel for them to,
not instantaneously, but
right,
it will
over
happen.
Time. Yep.
Yeah,
And so yeah, the way out of this, the way
I'm trying to get them to commit one way or another. Do we need more yard waste in there?
Honestly, I don't enjoy the yard waste program. No, there's a lot of frustrations with it, and I know people love it, and I don't want to be the bad guy, but we're the landfill kind of is the last one. We held out the longest, and now we're kind of stuck with it, and we're going to be the bad guy if we cut it off because cities don't have anything that they're doing for their residents to handle mm-hmm. yard waste. So we did. We got involved. Other cities got out of that process, so now we're the only ones left in the county doing that. And we'd love to have somebody else take it over from us, but it doesn't seem like they're lining up to do that. So here we are stuck with this. Our solution is, yeah, if we can get this methane collection system, we got a good answer because we're going to bury that stuff in the future. So once we get that methane collection system up and running, it'd be my intent that yard waste would no longer need to be separated from regular garbage, and we're just going to bury that stuff.
Okay.
Sorry.
We'll see.
And if you don't like that and you would rather compost it, then, you know, okay.
Well, that's fine.
Go get them.
That's your choice.
You can do it. You're still going to do it. You know, you've given it to us and say, this is what I want you to do with it. Well, sorry. If you're giving it to us, we're going to do what we think is best for the operation. So
and that's like that's what, people that do recycling.
Yep.
You know, those. And I honestly, I know you've got people that really want, they have really are well intended. But they're giving you a lot of stuff that you really don't. Now that we don't have a market for it.
Right.
I mean, well, not you guys, but the companies you work with
yeah.
don't have a market.
So. Yeah. I wish we could take more. And I wish there was ways to handle all the styrofoam or the plastic film, the bags, the wrap, the packaging materials, those air pockets. I wish we could do something more with that. But there's no market for those. So we can't recycle those. I wish we could. I wish we could do more. I wish we could do everything. You just dump it into one magic system, and it can all be recycled, and what little bit gets filtered out is done, but we don't have that magic sorting machine to work that way.
I'm guessing even some bigger places don't quite have the ability to take all of that, too.
No.
We intend well, but there's that. Okay, so some of the things I did want to pass along quickly here. We have September coming up. You're going to have another one of your household hazardous waste drop-off events the beginning of the month of September.
Yeah. Wow. It's talking September already. Ooh, yeah,
and then getting close
September
to the end of it.
September 7th.
That'll be on September 7th.
Yep.
Otherwise, just regular routine things going on at this point in time.
Yep. Keep plugging away at it. Still trying to get out and talk to folks, any businesses, organizations, anybody that would care to hear more about our recycling efforts, our space, the methane project, any of those things.
Business that, pickup stuff.
Yes.
School's back in session. They're going to be picking up as well.
That's right.
We've got all of it. It's out here. In the meantime, if people do want to get a presentation, things like that, I know because groups and organizations are going to start getting back together, so you might even be able to set up a tour. Who knows?
Absolutely. Yep. And it could be
on a dry day.
It could be a small group, big group. Yep. It doesn't matter. Individual people have come out and say, can I show me what the landfill's about? Sure. Let's go take a look. But yeah, I'd love to talk to groups about it. If you want to come out and experience it, see the recycling efforts, see the landfill space that we still have left that I've talked about.
You know, when folks look at that, they go, that is a huge place. It was bigger.
It was bigger. Yeah.
It was a lot bigger. Right.
It does look like it, but then you also see how fast it's filling up, and we can show you that this and then is what's come in the last few years of our new cell, and it's already gone, and then, you know, we're not getting it back. It's really done. It is finite. And then we go up, and we go out one more time, and we go up again, and then that's it. And, yeah, it's kind of scary.
What we're going to do after. Bottom line is, down the road, we're going to pay to send it somewhere else.
Yep, and then we're going to get it expensive.
Yeah, let's not do that if we can help it in the meantime. Yep.
So take care of your stuff. Try not to be a disposable person. Throw away too much stuff. You know, take care of it. It all matters.
Yep. And if you're dropping off at the recycling place, follow the rules.
Yep.
I mean, please.
A big poster out there and a big guideline sheet.
Pretty easy. I put my newspapers over on the side bins where they say, break down my cardboard.
Thank you. Break those boxes down. Yeah. Save that space.
Try to do what I can.
Thank you.
But it happens. And wine bottles you can with those, because you do have actually a small outlet for that. So
yep.
For those that are looking for that. I know people ask questions like that stuff too. So, well, we keep, yeah, I mean, it's just a process. Keep working at it. So.
You bet.
We'll keep people updated. In the meantime, again, try to recycle as best you can. Don't litter. And again, just pray we keep making progress on extending the life of the landfill.
That's it. That's the goals.
John Rose, our guest on our program today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.